Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Galatians chapter 4, we were taught that we do not turn to the arm of flesh to help God build numbers in our church. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Galatians chapter 4, we were taught that we do not turn to the arm of flesh to help God build numbers in our church. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We don't turn to the flesh to build the church. We're not to conform to the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I understand the churches today doing some of these modern things with the rock and roll and dressing down and looking like harlots and drinking and everything else that goes on. I'm sure that it can draw a crowd and a big crowd. But you see, when a crowd goes to the church empty and they leave empty, they'll just be like those that build up a big thing, but when judgment comes, those big things are gone, and the Jeremiah and the others are still there. Now, no doubt, Sarah thought that she was assisting God. She was sincere, but she was sincerely wrong. But being sincerely wrong doesn't make it right. You see, they were actually, what Sarah was doing that we don't really see, but just from the study of history, she was stooping to one of the common customs of the heathen nations where she and Abraham dwell. And so they're carrying out some of those things. Now, we should always demonstrate that our salvation was accomplished, again, as seen in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we're new creatures in Christ. So we don't have to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, that anything goes. We don't have to try to justify the works of the flesh because they're not justified. We do not have to make our Bibles worldly and fleshly and sensual in order to worship the High and Holy One. You see, the birth of Isaac was entirely by faith in the promise of God. It is plain to see that impatience is the work of the flesh that also leads to faithlessness in the promise of God. And so why do people turn to the arm of flesh and do these things? And we say, why are the churches doing these? Why are Christians doing these things? They have grown impatient, and they believe God, but they don't believe totally the instruction of His Word. They don't trust that His Word can fulfill it. They only say, He can save me, but He can't do anything else beyond that. Why would God wait so long? Maybe it was to leave no doubt in anyone's mind about Isaac being the Son of God with promise. And we should understand that. We should know that. And that should really encourage each of us. Another thing to see here is the code of Hammurabi. That governed the culture of Abraham's day. And in the code of Hammurabi in Abraham's day, that law stated that the son of a slave woman was also himself a slave. And although he was Abraham's son, he is still a slave because he was born of Sarah's handmaid that she gave. But then we look at Sarah. You see, the womb of Sarah is as a tomb. And out of death, a 90-year-old woman, God brought life. I think Jesus taught his disciples this. When you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 27 and verses 44 and 45, listen to them as I read them. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures." And that beginning at Moses looks at Abraham in Genesis and goes on into Exodus and on down the line. That all the things concerning himself. Now remember, Jesus did the same thing to the two men on the road to Emmaus in the book of Luke after his resurrection. And he said unto them, now he's talking to the 12 here, the 11 now, that after the resurrection, before his ascension, in verse 44 of Luke chapter 24, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses," okay, Exodus, "and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Well, that pretty well covers the Old Testament, does it not? "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Do you realize that Jesus didn't rewrite the scriptures to help them to understand, but instead he gives them the Spirit of God in their heart, that the Spirit might make them understand? You read John chapter 15, chapters 14 through 16, you'll see that's what the Holy Spirit was there to do, is to help us to understand the scriptures. The scriptures do not need to be changed. He said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, these things, even in Abraham and Sarah's day, that were pointing to Christ, are very evident, because Jesus said in John chapter 8, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it." And all we can say to that is hallelujah. He saw it. And what a tremendous thing that is. And what a great promise. What a great truth that is. Now, don't miss that when we read that he had the free woman was by promise. The word promise means a pledge in a legal sense to completely carry out a stated promise or oath to do something. This is a promise made by God. And as Hebrews 6:18 lets us know, God doesn't lie. Doubting the promises of God is to make us, in one sense, a person who calls God a liar. Wisdom's delight is seen in the end when one has patiently obeyed God and he hears, "Well done, good and faithful servant." My friend, our reward is not in this life. Rather, it's in the life to come. Now, I think it's interesting that if we are slowly learning to develop a stronger belief in eternity and what the Bible says about it, sometimes we'll see things are undermined, other things are plain lied about, and we'll see that people simply don't believe what the Bible has to say about the day and what we're supposed to do. But in that day, when you have eternity set in your inner man, in the very depths of your being, and you know that God will vindicate you one day, then those people, though they may be saved, will know they were totally deceived and they gave in to that deception because they didn't trust God. And it's just like the Galatian people that were deceived by the Judaizers. They started to weaken in their faith, and so the Judaizers moved in. That's why you stay in the Word of God, you're faithful to God's house, and you be obedient. Now, I'll also know in that day when I appear before God truth about things that maybe some did and they thought they got away with. See, what people don't understand is the shame in heaven will be felt more so in your inner man than the shame you feel down here. Up there, you'll see that the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, you'll see the actual hurt that you've done to God and to others. Here, you confess it to God, and you make things right with others. You don't hide things that you need to let them know. Then they're forgiven, and they won't be brought up there. So, you know, an innocent party is better equipped to handle eternity. Oh, they may hurt. It may be hard. But they just simply have to trust. God will reveal and vindicate in that day. Ours is to allow our faith in the Word of God and eternity just to grow stronger and more strong. Well, after we've seen the two sons here in verses 21 through 23, we next see the two covenants in verses 24 through 28, as we see wisdom's delight continuing here. We're told that these things are an allegory. Look at verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. Which, of course, is the Old Testament Hagar. Now, an allegory here is seen as an actual event that demonstrates a truth. Although the event was not ordained of God for this purpose. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 1-800-344-7471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.